If you are a guest today, you picked a great Sunday to come. Whenever our women come back, or men, or our students from their camps, it always turns into be a great service because we are in the overflow portion of the Spirit. So today you're going to hear some of the highlights, and if you weren't at retreat, fear not. This truth and this application applies to you. And I know for a fact there are some people in here that need to hear this morning's message because it's all about when God shows up. And he always shows up when you need him the most. And so I know that the sisterhood attenders had an incredible time, had some breakthrough, had some life change. And I want you to help me welcome to the stage our women's pastor, my wife, the bold, the beautiful, 5'3" preaching machine, Carrie Bourne.
Did y'all hear The Bold and the Beautiful? Is that a soap opera from like 89? Is it still on? Does anybody know? Still on. Wow. Does anybody watch soap operas anymore? Okay. All right. We've digressed. We've digressed. Welcome this morning to Genesis Metro Church. If you're coming in, you know, we have actually Haley, who's our connections pastor, as you know, she walked in for the first time, her and Zach, on a Sunday, like 5 years ago on retreat Sunday. And I remember being like, it's not always like this, okay? This is not a normal service. But it's always a great service, right? Can we give it up for that? It's always great to be here. We love coming back from retreat because we've heard from God. Just like the brotherhood goes away and the kids go to camp in the summer and the teenagers go to camp because it's a way for, it's like our camp. It's a way for us to get away and hear from God the way he wants to put into us what we're gonna need for the coming year. So we are just celebrating today all that he's done. I was down here worshiping and I'm looking across the front and I'm seeing people, I know their stories and breakthroughs that have occurred, and there's just nothing greater than that, right? That was good worship, good stuff. God is already, you can give God applause every time you want. We want to interact today with the Lord. We don't want to sit here and just soak it up. We want to be interactive with him. So, you know, there's just no way to be able to say thank you enough for all that God's done. I hope that if you went to retreat, you have been thanking him for what he did. I found myself yesterday as I was going, I went to bed last night, but I took a nap at 6 o'clock p.m. and I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning. So as I was laying down to sleep, take a quick nap at 6, I was praying and just thanking the Lord for all that he did. Because I never want to beg him to do something and then forget to give him thanks on the other side of it. Because what we know is that he moved and worked in women's hearts this weekend. And we embraced the rain as it fell down, as you saw. I don't know if you guys know, we've been in like a flood watch. On the way home from Alasso Ranch, there were fields that were just completely overrun with water where the rivers are spilling out. And that's the kind of goodness we want, right? Is that spilling out effect. So as we went away this weekend, we certainly saw God in a way that maybe we had not before. So we're going to jump in a little bit. I just wanted to give you, if you didn't get to go to retreat, I want you to feel like you got a little bit of what we talked about there, whether you're, it doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man or a teen or whatever. I think this applies to everybody that's in this room. And I just thought we should take a fresh look, for those of you that were there, at the passage that we covered on Friday night about Peter. And we've got a couple new things that we pulled out to be able to really take a look at it. So Acts chapter 12 is where we're going to start today. And I want us to think about this. When we ask God to show up, he always does. So today we're going to talk about when God shows up. And that's what he did for us this weekend. That's what we talked about on Friday night. And that's what we're going to dive into today. Acts chapter 12, verse 4 through 10. Peter is in prison. And Herod has arrested him. So after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers. That's 16 soldiers for one guy. He must be a pretty intense criminal to have 16 soldiers assigned to him. So Herod intended to bring him out for trial after the Passover when he was allowed to. Verse 5. Now look at this. It's so cool. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. Leave that one up there for a moment. Do you see the church's role in this story? Keep that with you as we continue on. But Peter's in prison asking God to show up for him, and the church is back there praying. The church has gathered together to pray because they have heard that Peter has been arrested. He's been arrested for simply being vocal and bold in his faith, telling others what Jesus has done, making sure that they know who he is, what he came to do, and that he can set them free. So Peter's simply been arrested for being vocal in his faith. And the church gathers to pray. What happens when the church gathers to pray? We're about to find out. In verse 6, the night before Herod was going to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. So two of the 16 are with him while he's asleep, and the others are scattered about the entrances to the various gates of the prison. Verse 7 is our key verse. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears, and a light shines in the cell. He strikes Peter on the side, and he says, "Hey, wake up, get up." And as Peter stood up, his chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel says, "Put your clothes on and your sandals." And Peter did that, wrapped his cloak around you, "Follow me." And Peter, in verse 9, is following him. And look at Peter's description in verse 9. It says he falls out of the prison, but he really had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. Like, am I dreaming? I'm not sure. He thought it was a vision. Verse 10, they passed the first, the second guards. They came to the big iron gate leading out to the city, and it opened by itself. And they went right through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Maybe today we are asking God to show up, and today is one of those days he's going to do that. We see so much in here, we don't possibly have time to unlayer all of it or unpack everything that's in this passage, all the little nuances that God gives us in this. But what we want to see is that Peter needed God to show up. Do you see that? He's in prison. He's bound by chains. He's being heavily guarded like a death row inmate. There's no way he's going to get out of this trial. And I wonder, as he laid there and fell asleep that night, what his prayers probably were. "God, how are you going to get me out of this? You've been getting us all out of all kinds of things. Are you going to come through? Is this my time? Am I going to go to trial?" What were all the questions that he was asking? And look at verse 7 again. Let's put that back up there so you can see it. Basically, 7 and 8, it says, what does it say here? At the end, "Get up quickly." And Peter does that, and his chains fall right off his wrist. Now, what I want us to see, that getting up was a step of obedience for Peter. And when he got up, the chains fell off. Let's just let that sit for a minute. When Peter stood up, the chains fell off. So what God was asking him to do was just stand up in obedience, to get up, even though he's surrounded by guards in the room, in the room outside, and the next layer outside, and at the gate, all around there's guards. Even though he's completely surrounded, he's chained down to the floor. His enemies are upon him, all around him. The captors, the ones who captured him in the first place. Everything human and logical would tell you, there's no way he's gonna get out of this. And even in his own mind, he's seen some pretty amazing things at this point. I wonder if he laid there in doubt. "What? I know you can do it, but can you get me out? Are you going to get me out of this?" And there's just one step that he was required to take. And when he did, the chains fell off. I wonder in life if anybody in here today has something that's got you chained down that you cannot get away from. Is there something that keeps holding you in the darkness? And maybe God has whispered to you, "Just get up. Just get up. And I will lead you to freedom." And it's too scary to stand up. It's too dark to stand up. The chains are too strong to stand up. The vices that we hold on to, the habits that we hang on to, the personality flaws that we hang on to, the negativity that we hang on to, our past, whatever it is, we hang on to these things, and it's too hard to get up, so we just stay, because there's really no way that we're gonna walk through that gate that's outside. Even if I stand up, I still gotta walk through several more barriers before I can get out of this, God. I know you're saying take a first simple step, but that seems a little too easy. And all God is requiring of Peter is just to stand up and watch the chains fall. Now, the next thing I want us to see is this, that when Peter does stand up, he takes that first step of obedience. Now he's got to walk out of this place, right? All right, the first part is over. Now I have to walk out of here. He says he walks through. They describe it, the first set of guards, the second set of guards. You know, he's probably like, "Do they see me?" It's like Harry Potter with the invisibility cloak. Am I invisible? I don't know. I think so. And then he comes up to this iron gate. Iron gate. That would signify strength. You can't just break through iron. You can't just get through the gate. You can't just ram your car through it. Now, how in the world is this going to happen? So the gate, he's standing there. Oh, what would we think if we stood at this big iron gate? So now we've got a little taste of freedom. We're free. We got the chains off. We're walking through there, walking through all these people. Our enemies are around us, but we feel like we maybe got a little victory because they didn't see me. Okay, those guys didn't see me. I'm good. I feel like the enemy's staying away. I just got to get through this gate. And what happens when they come up to it? What does it say? It just opens by itself. And he just walks right through. The angel walks him right out of the actual prison into freedom. What do we see here? The gate is not the barrier. The gates that hold you into the prison that you've constructed, or the prison that you feel like the enemy has put you in, the prison that your captors have taken you hostage and they have held you there, the gate to that prison is never the barrier. It's only our personal obedience that is the barrier. And our obedience is not always an easy walk, but all we have to do is walk in obedience and God will lead us to freedom. Does anybody believe that today? Let me hear you say it if you believe it, because I know that I've been set free, and I know exactly what that feels like. And I've watched chains fall off. I know if it can happen for the people that I'm thinking of, if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. You don't have to sit in a dark prison cell and not experience the freedom that God gives. It's just about our obedience. And what I know about God is this, that when we're willing to stand up and we put our eyes on the freedom that he's holding. He's like, you prayed, the church is praying, I'm here to set you free, and we stand up and we lock eyes with him, we are gonna see things we have never seen before. We are gonna know things we have never known before. We are gonna be able to experience God on a level we have never experienced him before, because we are now focused on the one who can set us free and bring freedom. So today I hope that you'll just tuck that back as we keep going today to discuss the next element that was pretty heavy at this retreat that no one really planned on, and that was the rain. So we have the rain. Now, our team, as we approached Thursday, man, we kept looking at the forecast. I think most people were looking at the forecast like, yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna go to this, like 90% chance of rain the whole time. In fact, the last forecast when I finally like let go, it was starting to rain Thursday at 5, and it was gonna rain until Saturday at 10 a.m. I was like, okay, that's a funny joke. All the whole time we're there, right? Because I kept praying for God to stop the rain. God, you know what we have planned this week. I need you to stop the rain. And then it was like the next day, okay, all right, can we just stop the rain on Friday? If you'll just like Thursday and Saturday, but clear it for Friday, I'll take that. It's fine. We can figure out the luggage getting wet. It's fine. And then you wake up Thursday morning and I'm like, and now it's like 95% rain on Saturday. I'm like, hey, what about the showing up? What happened to that, right? I'm praying and praying. And so I finally gave in and decided there's some significance to the rain that we're supposed to get this weekend. So it's time to just embrace it all, right? It was a messy bun kind of weekend, hat day the whole time. So it was rain, rain, rain. So as I started to shift my perspective, because what God does is he's like, yeah, your plans are so cute. Can you move out of the way so I can actually work here? Great, thank you. So I'm like, I'm gonna go with the rain. Let me research some rain biblical significance. And you know what I found is, not really rocket science, but if you start thinking about it on a deeper level, you see the significance pretty quickly when you start digging, that the rain ends drought. And the rain also brings life. At the same time, it's ending a drought, it's bringing life to those dark, cracked, dusty, dry places of our lives that we desperately need to hear from God in. So I want you to look at this verse that I found in Isaiah 45:8. It says, let the clouds send down showers of deliverance. Let the earth absorb it so salvation may grow and deliverance may sprout up along with it. So what, I see three key words there in that verse. I see deliverance, I see salvation, I see growth. So if I take a look at that verse and I think, may God wants to bring some deliverance this weekend, God wants to bring some salvation, he wants to bring some growth, because really what is our faith unless we're willing to grow it, right? How is it possible that we get all the way to our 30s and 40s and we realize we've never really grown in our faith? Because just attending here and just feeling good in worship isn't enough. It's being proactive to follow after God and know his voice and know his character and watch him lift us up, ask us to walk in obedience and break the chains that bind us. That's what personal growth is. It's something we have to do for ourselves. It's a way we partner with God. So if we think about the significance of the rain, the Israelites, as God led them to the country that he had picked out for them, chosen for them, he said, called it the promised land. It's the place that it's overflowing with like milk and honey. It's got all these awesome resources. The one resource it did not have naturally on its own was natural water, a fresh water source. Israel's in the middle of like land, it's landlocked completely. There's no coastline, but they walked through many, 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 many places that did have fresh water. I wonder if they were thinking like, can we just be here in this plush green grass by the Nile? Nope, we're just gonna keep going, okay. And when they get there, you know what's cool is they were completely dependent upon the one who brings the rain. They still are. They're completely dependent. And they knew when the rain started in their culture, in their day, that was going to end the drought season. And the rain was here. And so if we think about that spiritually, I always love seeing a physical concept that translates over into the spirit. And that's what God does for us. He says, if you will depend on me for sustenance, I will always end the drought in your life. I will always bring the rain. I will always bring deliverance and salvation and growth. There won't be a season that you don't have an end to the drought. There won't be a season that I won't deliver. There won't be a season that I won't grow you. Just be dependent on me for the rain. And so as we embrace the rain this weekend, we had to get out in it Friday. So we were done with our inside things, really, unless it was except for Friday night, and we're out in this rain, and we get to the very last portion of our event. This was a significant portion. You guys can begin putting the pictures up that I found some and were able to show you so that you can see it with your own eyes. It's easier to visualize it. So each team was to carry a beam with their team, and you could put someone on the beam to carry, signifying we need to carry each other's burdens. And that person was to be someone, was to be chosen by the leaders of that group, somebody who needed a personal breakthrough. Now let's just talk about that for a minute. Have you ever been on the receiving end of someone noticing that you need more? Like someone going, hey, Jesse, I can see God needs to speak into your life. And what does that feel like when someone sees your pain and sees your breakthrough waiting on the other side? There was a lot of significance to this. And so our teams began to walk around. We had charted a course out that was pretty far. It was the length that Jesus walked from the town where he was sentenced to die on a cross up to the hill. I think the Brotherhood did the same thing, so you guys understand the significance. And so what we told them they could do, we gave them an option. They didn't have to put somebody up there because it was raining. We didn't want it to get dangerous and slippery and wet. And so we said they could just hold it up above their head for the entire walk, and that would also be challenging and it would be significant. And so we gave them an option, but I don't think anybody really did that. They may have done that for a break. What was very cool was to see there were some teams that were more seasoned than others, if you will. And you know what? That didn't stop them one bit. They put every single person up there and they each took a turn on top of that cross. There were some teams that carried one person the whole time. There were some that switched out two or three different people. It was whatever God was leading that group to do. And it was significant because as we walked, what we realized was that it wasn't easy and it was hard and it was just a tiny sliver of understanding of what Jesus might have been through as he heaved that cross onto his back and he walked it from town all the way up to Calvary's Hill after being severely flogged and beaten and whipped and bloody and bruised, unimaginably unrecognizable. And we're carrying a nice finished sanded piece of a beam from Lowe's. And he's carrying a splintered, rough, railroad-tied type cross up to this hill. So we talked about that before we started, and everyone took their turn, and it was a significant walk, so much that it was probably 30 to 40 minutes to complete it from start to finish. And when we started, right before we started, we stopped to have a moment together. You saw me on the bullhorn in the video because I thought it would be good for us to understand its significance before we began and for us all to be on the same page and really take in what we hoped God would do in our planning. And one of the things our team had done the day before was pray that when we started this portion, it would really start to rain. And it did. In fact, we were all looking at each other like, oh, it's happening. He did it. Right? You're like, yes. Come on, God, bring the rain. I was like, bring the rain. Bring the rain into our lives. And so at that moment, I joined up with my life group that's meeting at our houses this semester, and I wanted to be sure and have some time with them. And I want to tell you my personal experience with this cross. So when we got there on Wednesday, our team, we tested everything in the rain because we didn't want to ask anybody to do anything that we're not willing to do, right? So we tested it in the rain. And when we tested it, we figured out pretty quickly, short girls up front, taller girls in the back, that would be the best distribution of weight. Anybody realize that? I see people going, oh, that's what we should have done. It was up to you to figure out. Exact little puzzle. If the short girls are in the middle, then the tall people really bear the weight because you feel like you're just touching it with your finger, like, oh, I'm a lot of help. This is awesome, right? And the short people are like, oh, I just kept quiet, Carrie. I didn't want to say anything. I was fine with the way it was distributed. Thank you so much. Busted. You got busted. So as our team walked this out on Wednesday, I personally didn't feel like it was that big of a challenge. I didn't have a hard time with it. In fact, Kristen Salazar, so short, 4'11", closer to heaven, right, Kristen? She finally just kind of walked beside us and encouraged us. You're doing great. You're doing awesome. Way to go. And I thought, well, people can do that. That way everybody needs a cheerleader. Here's Kristen. But I did not find it to be that personally, like physically challenging. The significance, the spiritual components, all the concepts that God was trying to drive home, I got all that. But I still didn't find it to be that physically challenging. So when everybody arrives on Thursday and this rain is coming and we're embracing it, we get to Friday afternoon and I join up with my life group to do the walk with them. And as soon as we started, I got to the front because I'm one of the shorter ones on that team as well. There was 9 of us, the same amount of people as were on the team on Wednesday. We had the same amount of people. Nothing's really that different. But this time, it was heavy. And we all took turns carrying each other. There was no difference. But it was considerably heavier than anything, any moment in time on Wednesday. In fact, it was so challenging personally. And I was a little bit prideful, like, I work out. This is going to be like a farmer's carry. I got this. It's no problem. And it was so taxing, and everything was hurting. My shoulders were trembling. My biceps, my forearms, my back was aching. I never have back issues. I never even felt my back tweak, really. And it was all these things that I'm like, what is going on? Am I in the wrong spot? And I would say, does anyone need a break? And they were like, nope, doing good back here. I'm like, I got this. I'm not going to be the one that's like, I need a break, right? Pride, pride, pride. So eventually I think I was like, can we just switch sides? Because what we were doing was carrying this up on your shoulders. So it was bearing down on your shoulders. But even we did it on Wednesday and we did that, I still just felt like I was just one person with weight distributed. It wasn't that hard. We did it. No problem. So when I switched sides, I thought maybe that would bring some relief, but then it was like all the weight came on that side. It didn't matter where I went. And I'm like, what is the deal? So we probably stopped 3 or 4 times, took little breaks. your beam was not to touch the ground, so we still had to figure out how to hold it. At one point, we were going to hold it here. That didn't last long. My forearms were like, oh, jelly. And so we switched, and by the last leg, I'm at the very front of the beam. And I and Heather Gerhardt's up there with me on the other side. We kept swapping places, and I finally just got at the very front of the beam. So imagine the very front of it's right here, and I'm holding it with both hands like this. And I'm holding it thinking that if I can just get a different position, if I can position differently, it would bring relief. But then all the weight came to that side, and it was like on my back. And it didn't occur to me until we got almost back to the finish line, which is where we started. Start and finish was the same. That God just dropped into my heart. I'm intending for you to feel the weight. You're supposed to feel it. Stop trying to get away from it. And it was a moment because I had to talk myself into getting back to the start because I could see it. I turned around backwards even to walk backwards with it to just give my legs and my back a break. And I got across the finish line backwards. But I was like, I made it. I think this is it. Heather's like, oh, it's a few more steps. There's my umbrella. I'm like, okay. It's fine. Okay. Now, what I want you to know is the application of this for me was pretty significant. And you can be putting your notes up and get ready to worship because we're almost done. Band, don't come out yet. I'll pray you guys out in just a moment. But here's the things that God taught me. And I want to tell you and be authentic and vulnerable with you what he told me. So hopefully it'll inspire you to take a look back and ask God if there's anything else that he wanted to show you with that walk. Maybe if you're hearing this today, and it might inspire you to dig a little deeper and do the same, but you know, at this level of church, we've been doing this thing for 16 years now, and what I've learned this year and what God impressed upon me at retreat is at this level of church, the weight is great. And I believe that I've reached the capacity of what I can carry by myself. And I tend to be a little prideful and think that I can just kind of do every little thing that is needed. And what God whispered to me was that while I am called to carry and bear weight, I am not called to carry it by myself. But it's been a heavy year. It's been a heavy year. And I have carried a lot by myself, intentionally, not because people weren't trying to be there or be encouraging or be supportive, and everybody has been. But for me personally, what I realized, what God told me on Friday was that you can bear up under the weight, but there's only so much you can do without others bearing that weight with you. So I wonder if anybody else in here today carries a load that you were not meant to carry alone, that you were meant to share that with someone and bring someone or some people into that with you. Because God wants to bring breakthrough in our lives. He wants to bring rain. He wants to show himself to us in ways that we won't see anywhere else. But it's our own flesh that holds us back. If it's disobedience, if it's ignoring him, if it's apathy, if it's habits, if it's things that everybody else is doing that we feel like we have to do in order to be accepted, whatever it is, he already knows. And he's going to do anything he can to get that point across to you. So would you just bow your heads, just keep sitting. We're going to ask God to keep working in this room. I came home from retreat realizing that I believe there were people that left retreat, like maybe that leave camp. We've got teenagers in here today, and I've been walking with them this year. And there are people that come home from these experiences, and they still turn their face to God, and they still put their hand up, and they still shut him out. And I believe God is working, and people are wrestling with what he's doing. And instead of wrestling, what he's asking for you to do is just stand up, let go, and let the chains fall off so he can do the work that he promised to do in your life. The verse that I was given at retreat this year is a verse, a page that I've seen a million times. And one of the verses that jumped off the page at me was 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I think. And one of the verses in there says, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul is describing, the author of 2 Corinthians, he's describing how he's asked God to take his struggles away completely. I've asked God over and over to take these away. And God doesn't take them away. Well, that feels like God is not showing up for us. I've asked you to take this stuff away. Why won't you do it? And his answer is, I am here. I have shown up. But you're going to keep those struggles because that's how you are dependent on me. That's how you see me. That's how we can do this thing together. Because you can't do it without me. You cannot bear up under the weight without me. And what we've learned by planting Genesis Metro and watching God work through years and years and years of community is that no one can do this alone. And alone, many times, equals isolation and disconnection. And we're asking God to bring the rain so that unity is here, so that impacting the kingdom is here, so that personal spiritual growth is so alive and active that it's more common than those who walk in a neutral setting, in an apathetic spirit, and they just coast through. We're asking for the alive and the abundance and the rain that's fallen to bring up so much growth and so much salvation and so much deliverance that it just spills out onto everyone that walks in the door or everyone that's outside our doors. So today I wonder if you might pray for yourself to see, is there something he's trying to speak into? It's not that I haven't been walking with God or haven't asked him to show up, but he spoke into me Friday on another thing that I needed to pay attention to that I was not paying attention to. He's always breaking it down. Doesn't matter where you're at spiritually. So God, today we're asking you to do your work. We're asking you to show up in this room and to end the drought that exists in the hearts of anyone that's sitting here, God. Bring your breakthrough. Let's worship in Jesus' name.